This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
The president last night touting the economy, and the Democrats can't count in Iowa. What a mess for them. President's re-election looks stronger than ever, and today he'll be acquitted by the United States Senate. Meanwhile, in Iowa, Joe Biden comes in fourth place, the Democrat frontrunner in fourth. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Cioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Cioli, and Facebook.com/Cioli Show. Last night, the president touting the historic economic growth under his administration. Like I've told you before, as James Garvel said, it's the economy stupid. That's not going to change, according to the Morning Consult poll today. Is still the number one issue on people's minds is the economy. I don't care if you're a suburban soccer mom or you are a guy in a pickup truck. This is the number one issue for you, and it's not changing. Cut one.
We are advancing with unbridled optimism and lifting our citizens of every race, color, religion, and creed very, very high. Since my election, we have created 7 million new jobs, 5 million more than government experts projected during the previous administration. The unemployment rate is the lowest in over half a century. And very incredibly, the average unemployment rate under my administration is lower than any administration in the history of our country.
Yeah, how do you argue with that? What's your position on that? Unless you go far socialist, unless you run far to the left, that's it. That's the only way you can argue that that's not good for America. And then that's what some of the Democrats are doing, like Warren and Sanders, for example. But the president talked about the fact that we are in a blue collar boom. And I told you this, you know, the blue collar voters are key to the president's base. These are largely a lot of them union voters who used to vote Democrats sort of pro forma. And the Democrats have lost the union vote, and they're not going to get it back anytime soon. I don't mean the teachers' union. I mean just, you know, carpenters, electricians, guys who work for a living, truck drivers. Cut two.
Since my election, the net worth of the bottom half of wage earners has increased by 47%, three times faster than the increase for the top 1%. After decades of flat and falling incomes, wages are rising fast, and wonderfully, they are rising fastest for low-income workers who have seen a 16% pay increase since my election. This is a blue-collar boom. Real median household income is now at the highest level ever recorded.
Yeah, you know, for working class voters, right, white working class voters in particular, who used to vote Democrat, who've now voted for the president, how are Democrats going to win those voters back? Are they going to win those voters back by saying, we're going to take away your health care, your union negotiated health care, put you on Medicare for all, start paying healthcare for illegal immigrants? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that is disastrous for them, and they know that. And the president last night also touted criminal justice reform, which I've told you, in addition to the fact that look, black voters, white voters, everybody cares about the economy. I don't care about the color of your skin. Black, brown, white, yellow, rainbow, whatever your skin color is, whatever you color you identify with, the economy is number one. It doesn't matter. It's a unifying factor. But there are certainly other issues that matter as well to people. And the president has gone all in on criminal justice reform. This matters in the African-American community in a big, big way, as does school choice. And the president brought that up last night. He brought up criminal justice reform. And remember something, you know, for a lot of people, they watched as the Obama administration for 8 years talked about it, never got it done. And the president got it done. Take a listen.
Our roaring economy has, for the first time ever, given many former prisoners the ability to get a great job and a fresh start. This second chance at life is made possible because we passed landmark criminal justice reform into law. Everybody said that criminal justice reform couldn't be done, but I got it done and the people in this room got it done.
And that's important, too, that the president made reference to that and said, you know, we got it done. 855-839-1210. Chris Matthews responded last night to the president's speech, and this was on MSNBC. Afterward, take a listen. Cut 16.
Chris Matthews.
I think the people where I came from will like the speech tonight. I think regular people will not, they'll see the schmaltz, the corniness. They'll see it, but they'll like it because it's all good stuff, whatever purpose it had. And I look at something about, I watched Pelosi because I really respect her like most of us do. And I watched very, the way she calibrated when to stand, when to applaud. And it was almost enormous, almost entirely the tributes to people, to individual people. She always felt that was the right thing to do, especially Juan Guaido. I'm telling you, Trump set up the fight, and he laid down the gauntlet tonight about him and Bernie. It's as if he was following. Bernie won and popped their vote out in Iowa yesterday. And there he is going after Guaido, going after socialism, obviously tying all socialism to the kind we really don't like, the tyrannical socialism of the Latin Americans like Castro. He's saying, this is going to be my enemy. Great, I'm ready to fight. So I thought that was interesting. And Pelosi stood up and applauded that. That was right. She knew where this country stands. We don't like those leaders. And Bernie does. And that's a problem.
And that's a problem. He's right about that point. That was, of course, Venezuelan opposition leader Juan Guaido, who we recognize as the official, in fact, leader of Venezuela. That's the United States of America recognizing him as the leader of Venezuela, the actual president of Venezuela. And he got a huge standing ovation last night for that. But to Chris Matthews' point, Castro, the Russians, I mean, these are people that Sanders loves and has praised in the past. And Sanders has defended the current administration of Venezuela, the socialist dictator in Venezuela, Maduro. So that's what Chris Matthews is talking about there, that contrast between a guy who is the winner of Iowa potentially now, Bernie Sanders, who stands with Maduro versus everybody else who stands with the opposition leader who was at the State of the Union address last night. So, I mean, it's right there. As Chris Matthews said, regular people. There's a lot in here for them to like. A lot in here for them to like. The president also brought up the USMCA, the United States-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement. And as I've told you before, this is the kind of thing that matters a lot in the Rust Belt. Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Matters for farmers. This is a big deal. And he also gave the Congress a little credit for that. Cut three.
One of the biggest promises I made to the American people was to replace the disastrous NAFTA trade deal. In fact, unfair trade is perhaps the single biggest reason that I decided to run for president. Following NAFTA's adoption, our nation lost one in four manufacturing jobs. Many politicians came and went pledging to change or replace NAFTA, only to do so, and then absolutely nothing happened. But unlike so many who came before me, I keep my promises. We did our job. 6 days ago, I replaced NAFTA and signed the brand new U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement into law. The USMCA will create nearly 100,000 new high-paying American auto jobs and massively boost exports for our farmers, ranchers, and factory workers. It will also bring trade with Mexico and Canada to a much higher level, but also to be a much greater degree of fairness and reciprocity. We will have that fairness and reciprocity. And I say that finally, because it's been many, many years that we were treated fairly on trade.
And the president talked about jobs coming back to the United States of America. Again, black, brown, yellow, rainbow, purple, whatever color, jobs and the economy are issue number one. They always have been. They always will be. It's the economy, stupid. James Carville, never's going to change. Cut three.
The tremendous progress we have made over the past 3 years, America is now energy independent, and energy jobs, like so many other elements of our country, are at a record high. We are doing numbers that no one would have thought possible just 3 years ago. Likewise, we are restoring our nation's manufacturing might, even though predictions were, as you all know, that this could never, ever be done. After losing 60,000 factories under the previous two administrations, America has now gained 12,000 new factories under my administration, with thousands upon thousands of plants and factories being planned or being built. Companies are not leaving. They are coming back to the USA. The fact is that everybody wants to be where the action is, and the United States of America is indeed the place where the action is.
I'll tell you something. If the economy is issue number one, and you notice the president mentions energy jobs, that's going to be a big issue in the campaign. There's a reason why the president brought that up, energy independence. Every Democrat, including Michael Bloomberg, who's running for president, has talked about getting rid of fossil fuels and coal and ending fracking. That is critical to a lot of people's jobs, those industries, and critical to Americans' energy independence. You get rid of fracking, you get rid of coal, you get rid of fossil fuels, natural, you know, gasoline, oil. That is going to crush people's livelihoods, crush towns, destroy towns. There's not a single Democrat who has gone out there and said, no, I'm going to protect these industries. I'm going to stand with these industries and work on technology to make them cleaner or that sort of thing. Nope, it's shut them down. That is going to be a big issue in Pennsylvania when Bloomberg's the nominee and he's running and he's to get the nomination has had to stand with all these green lunatics. And it's the same mistake Joe Biden made, too, which is Joe Biden doubled down on ending fracking. And they asked him the question of, this is why he's such a terrible candidate. You know, if you know the transition to green will cost hundreds of thousands of jobs, are you OK with that? And he goes, yes. Just stupid, man. I mean, it's just beyond dumb. It really is. It's beyond dumb. And that's why you've got people like Carville who are saying the Democrat Party needs to wake up because they are absolutely just destroying themselves right now. And in the process, looking petty as hell, by the way. 855-839-1210. This is what Van Jones said last night to what my caller was talking about earlier in the show. CNN's Van Jones, who's a commie, and he was out there on CNN last night. He's got good analysis, though. I like his analysis a lot. Take a listen.
I think the last 24 hours have been a big wake-up call for Democrats. That's what I think. The Iowa caucus was a debacle. And this was a very strong speech. And it shows what he thinks he needs to do to win. And I think actually he's very clinical about this. I think you're exactly right. A warning to Democrats. What he was saying to African Americans can be effective. You may not like it. But he mentioned HBCUs. Our black colleges have been struggling for a long time. A bunch of them have gone under. He threw a lifeline to them in real life in his budget. He talked about that. He talked about the criminal justice reform. He talked about opportunity zones.
This, school choice. He talked about school choice. Yeah.
Listen, wake up.
He doesn't have to be effective. Exactly. He has to be effective to move margins and key states.
And the thing about it is, and I think that we got to wake up, folks. There's a whole bubble thing that goes on. We say, well, he said S-hole nations, therefore all black people are going to hate him forever. That ain't necessarily so. And I think what you're going to see him do is say, you may not like my rhetoric, but look at my results, look at my record to black people. And if he narrow casts that, it's going to be effective, which means as we move through this primary process, we've got to pay a lot more attention both to what's going on with the Latino vote. Are we going to get a benefit in terms of, you know, having them respond? And with the black vote, is there going to be a split off? Especially for black male voters, we got to be clinical about this stuff. We get so emotional about it. That was a warning to us, a warning shot across the bow of Democrats that he's going after enough black folks to cause us problems. It's not just the white suburban voters; he's going after black votes.
Yep, exactly. And he doesn't have to win the black vote; he just has to win more of it than any Republican before him has, which is what he's going to do. This is what I told him in the Oval Office, and that's because of criminal justice reform and school choice. In a moment, I'll play you the clip of the little girl in Philadelphia who the president pointed out in his State of the Union address last night. There were other moments, too. The president surprised Amy Williams from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, the early homecoming of her husband, Sergeant First Class Townsend Williams from Afghanistan. That was an incredible moment. People were just, I mean, that was just one of those moments where you just, you know, get you. Fantastic moment. There were some really amazing moments. The president praised the last member of the Tuskegee Airmen who was there last night. I was 100 years old. That was a really special moment of the night last night as well. And there were some petty moments from the Speaker of the House. I'll clue you in on what she didn't say last night that she should have said.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
By the way, did you know what wasn't said last night, Dawn? Did you catch what wasn't said?
What?
All right. There were a couple words that were left out last night.
Oh.
All right. So this is the vampiric one. Last night, introducing the president of the United States, as the Speaker of the House always does when she stands in front of the Congress, right? As the Speaker of the House. It's her chamber.
Yes.
The Senate's invited as a guest, but it's her chamber. It's the House chamber. And so the Speaker is the one who does this because they're in her house, so to speak. That's the people's house, but you know what I mean. Take a listen.
Members of Congress, the President of the United States.
Hey, now, did you catch what she didn't say? Did you catch what she didn't say there?
No.
Okay. This is Nancy Pelosi introducing President George Washington in 1788. Sorry. George W. Bush. I had the wrong George. This is Pelosi in 2009.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
I have the high privilege and the distinct honor. That is a tradition, the congressional tradition, where the Speaker says that before introducing the President of the United States of America. I have the high privilege and distinct honor, which she did not say last night to President Trump. She
goes, members of Congress, the President of the United States.
See? Was not said last night.
Maybe they're just cutting her airtime.
It's her show. She could have given a whole speech if she wanted to last night, right? She invites him to the gallery, her show. Members of Congress, this guy. And she sits right down. As if he gets reelected, that's what it'll be next year.
The dude.
Yeah. Members of Congress. Well, go ahead. We're waiting. Just looks at him. Well, we're waiting. Takes a page out of Caddyshack right there. Doesn't even say his name. So that's a little petty, but nothing, of course, that can even come close to the, at the end of it, the rip of the State of the Union address. Ripped from her formerly bloodstained fingers. Bloodstained from breakfast, I mean. What?
Did the president notice? I mean, did the viewer at home notice that she didn't say the traditional privilege, high honor
you
thing?
Mean versus nerds like me who know this stuff know. Inside and out?
Only Zioli would notice that.
Actually, a buddy of ours, a mutual friend of ours, who used to work for a congressman from Ohio, he noticed it, and he texted me about it last night. You got to remember something, because we got to get up early. I can't watch the whole thing. I got to wake up early and watch it the next day, right? Because otherwise I'll be too fired up and I won't sleep. So that was, I woke up to that and I said, oh, that's kind of petty of her. And then, but that was before I even realized she'd ripped up the speech at the end.
Yes.
So you want to talk about petty, right? Ah! My formerly blood-stained fingers. Speaking of formerly nicotine-stained fingers, Rush Limbaugh last night received the Presidential Medal of Freedom last night from the president. He sat next to the First Lady. He was in a wheelchair. It was a sad moment, but a special moment, of course, obviously. But El Rushbo's not, obviously it's a big fight he's got ahead of him here. Do we have any audio of that by chance, Greg?
Here tonight is a special man, beloved by millions of Americans, who just received a stage 4 advanced cancer diagnosis. This is not good news. But what is good news is that he is the greatest fighter and winner that you will ever meet. Rush Limbaugh, thank you for your decades of tireless devotion to our country.
And then the First Lady pinned the medal on him.
And Rush, in recognition of all that you have done for our nation, the millions of people a day that you speak to and that you inspire, and all of the incredible work that you have done for charity, I am proud to announce tonight that you will be receiving our country's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
So the obviously, the president and Rush have been very good friends over the years, and they're very close. And then Rush Limbaugh, of course, has done so much to help the president over the years, but they were also very, very close personal friends as well. So that was a very interesting and special moment, I'm sure, for Rush Limbaugh's life last night. The president recognized a Tuskegee Airman. I have a little bit of audio of that. Take a listen.
In the gallery tonight, we have a young gentleman and what he wants so badly, 13 years old, Ian Lonfay. He's an eighth grader from Arizona. Ian, please stand up. Ian has always dreamed of going to space. He was the first in his class and among the youngest at an aviation academy. He aspires to go to the Air Force Academy, and then he has his eye on the Space Force. As Ian says, most people look up at space. I want to look down on the world. But sitting behind Ian tonight is his greatest hero of them all. Charles McGee was born in Cleveland, Ohio, one century ago. Charles is one of the last surviving Tuskegee Airmen, the first black fighter pilots, and he also happens to be Ian's great-grandfather. Incredible story. After more than 130 combat missions in World War II, he came back home to a country still struggling for civil rights and went on to serve America in Korea and Vietnam. On December 7th, Charles celebrated his 100th birthday. A few weeks ago, I signed a bill promoting Charles McGee to Brigadier General. And earlier today, I pinned the stars on his shoulders in the Oval Office. General McGee, our nation salutes you. Thank you, sir.
A beautiful moment. I don't know how anybody could say it wasn't. It was absolutely beautiful. And again, you know, the president, they call him a racist all the time. It's what they do. And he's not. And at some point, this racism attack gets very, very old. Another moment, the president last night, which brought a lot of people to tears, was when he recognized a young woman from our area. I will play that for you in just a few moments. But I want you to think about it from this perspective, right? Democrats are on the biggest political losing streak I've ever seen in my life. Iowa is a friggin' mess. They're only at, what, 72% of the votes recorded or counted at this point or revealed or whatever. There's shenanigans going on. The party's in the middle of a civil war between this kooky lefty fringe group and then people like Carville and Rendell and Chris Matthews and others who were saying, Bill Maher, the party's going to kill itself. You have the president right now who's going to be acquitted today by the United States Senate, an impeachment, whatever, that wasted everybody's time and money. Democrats knew they weren't going to remove him from office. You got to just wonder why they even did it. Now, I asked a buddy of mine yesterday, I said, I still don't understand what the Democrats were trying to do here. I don't get it. You know he's going to be acquitted. You know you're going to lose. You do it anyway. Why? And I don't understand either why they wrapped it up. I've said this before, why they wrapped it up last year versus dragging this out. You realize the president last night didn't even have to mention the word impeachment because he's really not impeached anymore. The acquittal today is a pro forma vote. The votes are there. So he didn't have to mention it. He didn't have to belittle it. He didn't have to get into the mud. He didn't have to get into the scrum. He rose above it. And you flash over to the vampiric one, and she's ripping up the State of the Union address when it's over. And the contrast of that between a president rising above it and trying to focus on the American people and a vindictive Speaker of the House who's angry because she didn't win her political battle, that ripping up the speech right there says it all. That says it. That says everything. And they always say it's like in Hollywood, you know, don't show, don't tell. I mean, that image right there of her whoosh, speaks so loudly. Everybody knows what she's thinking right there. Everybody knows it and everybody understands it. And for them, it's bad. It's bad, which is why I've played for you today. Chuck Todd, Van Jones, Chris Matthews, James Carville. It's the same thing. They all keep saying the same thing. Joe Biden's done. The Democrat Party's a mess. The president's message last night reached across the aisle, reached to black voters, reached to women voters, reached to blue-collar voters. You know, I don't have to come on here and sound like a Trump cheerleader. I just have to play you people like Juan Williams saying the president did a great job last night. politically, he's at the most powerful position he's ever been, ever, may ever will be, who knows? And Democrats are at the lowest point, the absolute lowest political point that they've ever been. And I got a feeling the bottom is not, they haven't even hit bottom yet, in my opinion. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Meanwhile, back in Iowa, the chaos continues over there as we still don't have all the votes coming out yet, all the results coming out. We don't know. We do know, though, that Joe Biden lost Iowa. That much we do know, and that's the key. Something else, too, that's very important to realize, because I don't think America's mother-in-law is going to be in this race much longer either. As Eugene Robinson of MSNBC and The Washington Post put it yesterday, and this is not good news for Elizabeth Warren, cut seven.
You know, people believed in the caucuses before, though, and so
for what they were.
But they used the app this time, you know, and the app didn't work. I mean, just one thing from Kornacki's map. I see orange counties, which are Klobuchar counties, I believe. I didn't see any green counties. I didn't see any Elizabeth Warren counties. And so
good points.
I think
Kornacki.
We might that might be something, a story that Klobuchar would like to tell. You know, I won these counties. I did well. And I wonder if Warren will have much of a story to tell.
Let's go out to Vaughn Hilliard real quick in Des Moines.
Yeah, you know what? At some point, Klobuchar's going to run out of money as well. This is the thing. This is what happens. NBC Today's show ripping the Iowa caucus as the media ripped the Iowa caucus and the Democrats for their handling of it. Cut five. Take a listen.
Overnight, the Iowa Democratic Party saying it found inconsistencies in the reporting of three sets of results from the caucuses, saying the delay was the result of a reporting issue and not due to a hack or an intrusion involving the party's new results app. In other words, the app was not hacked. Caucus officials saying it was confusing and difficult to download.
NBC senior legal and investigative correspondent Cynthia McFadden, who has been literally up all night looking into what happened here. So, Cynthia, what did you find out?
Well, I think the headline is it wasn't the Russians in this case. It appears to be the Democrats who did it to themselves.
Yeah, wasn't the Russians. It was the Democrats. You know, you got it. If you want to collude, you better get an expert like Putin in there. Otherwise, this is what's going to happen. Going to be a disaster. Here's a little montage of the frustrated media shredding the Democrats over their epic failure in Iowa. I know we played the one, but this is the other one, right, Greg? This is 1B.
Yes, there's two of them.
Take a listen.
There's so many.
From Grabian. Oh, there's so many, right?
Yeah, this is from Newsbusters, actually.
Newsbusters.
Yeah.
Breaking this morning, the Iowa caucuses. They're what's breaking because the system is actually broken.
We don't have results, but we have news about why we don't have results. And I'm only being sarcastic because this is an epic failure by the Iowa State Democratic Party.
Who won the Iowa caucus? And that's a key question.
And who won Iowa?
We don't know who won.
We still do not know who won.
We still don't know the numbers.
Will we know who wins here in New Hampshire before we ever find out who won in Iowa?
Seems the jokes are going to start writing themselves.
Look at the results.
Exactly.
Now, they are.
Out of zeros.
They can't run a bathroom.
Let's out a little bit.
How are they going to run
you
a democracy?
Wow.
Breaking overnight, caucus chaos.
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 Chaotic chaos.
A real debacle.
Not a good look for the Democrats.
The real winner here, the results are in, is Donald Trump.
We don't know who won, but we know who lost, and it's Iowa.
This morning, the two chief political exports of Iowa are uncertainty and embarrassment.
Wow. I know who else lost Iowa. Joe Biden came in fourth place, even though he repeatedly said he would win Iowa.
Oh, I plan on winning Iowa. I'm working like hell to win Iowa.
And we're in Iowa?
Yes.
You have to win here.
Well, I think I will win here. I plan on winning Iowa. Thank you.
Well, fourth place is basically winning.
No, it's
not. It's basically true that it's winning.
No.
Basically.
No, it's not. It's not close. Not everybody gets a trophy.
Not everybody gets a trophy in the Iowa caucus?
This isn't Little League.
You sure?
Nah.
Brian Williams made a very interesting analogy yesterday to James Carville. And James Carville, who was the guy saying the Democrat Party is acting like a cult, or they want to be an ideological cult, or they want to win. And this is what MSNBC's Brian Williams said.
Speaker, get somebody in there. Now, I think this thing in Milwaukee is not off to a good start. I see all kinds of things that are very concerning there. And also, I'm just looking at the mega polling averages. I'm looking at public opinion right now. And frankly, we got to snap back and get this thing going, or not only think about what would happen if we had four more years of Trump, but this is so far not so good. That's my analysis.
As I always say, you can't run a Whole Foods race in what I insist is still a Campbell's Soup nation. Ari Melber has a few questions for you.
Just a little shout out to the Campbell's Soup Company in Camden, New Jersey, of course. Which, in full disclosure, is where my wife works, but nevertheless. I didn't tell Brian Williams to say that. He said it. I don't even know what the hell that means, by the way, but whatever.
We try and be, you know, organic and stuff, but we're still, you know, the...
Well, Campbell's has organic soup. They have organic soup.
Yes, they do.
Right? You get it at
Absolutely.
Costco.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, but Dawn knows.
It's the point of, you know, you can... You know,
it's the condensed soup. It's the...
It's the high-sodium... Campbell's soup. That,
they make
that
low sodium.
People,
heart healthy.
I know. I'm just saying.
It's, no, this is fun though. I know. No. Greg, explain it. Go ahead.
No, it's
gotta read the labels.
It's the image.
Actually, here's what we're gonna do. Greg, you explain it. Dawn, you counter the point that Brian Williams is
I'm
making.
I'm not point counterpointing. Dawn.
This is
not
fun.
Happening.
This is fun.
It's not happening.
Because I will win.
It's the image. It's the image that most people have of Whole Foods being the healthy place and Campbell's soup not.
Right.
Even though
that's wrong.
And the expensive place, right? Like, so people go to Whole Foods and they spend a lot of money, and then Campbell's soup
is like 49 cents if you buy it at Costco.
Yeah, which is what you do, right?
Right.
So,
of course.
It's hard to run a Whole Foods race in what I still say is a Campbell's soup nation. I mean, it's a really dumb analogy when you break it down at the end of the day, because it's stupid. It's just a dumb analogy. I mean, there's a lot of people that see, again, this is the point, though, that a lot of people who live in Morristown, New Jersey, shop at Whole Foods or Wegmans. And a lot of people in Morristown, New Jersey, of all the places in our area, they give the highest amount of money given to President Trump's reelection campaign. 79% of area donations comes from Morristown, New Jersey, which is one of the most expensive zip codes in the entire country. And a lot of people there who shop at Whole Foods. And this is what I mean about stereotyping and caricaturing people. It's just not a bunch of idiots loading up their carts with condensed soup. I mean, not that you're an idiot if you do that. I do that all the time. Look, not just because, you know, obviously Bridget works there, but it's really easy to feed a family with soup, especially in the wintertime. Like, you can do this.
Yes.
Right?
And you use it for cooking, too.
You can use it for cooking as well.
You know.
Like broth, like chicken or... veggie broth or...
Yeah, and a lot of their, like the cream celery, you can put in a lot of stuff. It's actually really good. I'm not even kidding you.
The cream of celery.
Yeah.
You know what it would have been? A better analogy would have been if Brian Williams said, you're trying to run a Uber Eats campaign in a Campbell's Soup Nation, because people are not spending $40 on dinner every night in the burbs, right? They might do it in the city. I don't know. They might get takeout every night in the city and Uber Eats and whatever else it is, but they're not doing that. They're making soup for their family as they're trying to watch every dollar.
Yeah.
Because the economy matters.
Exactly.
I do love Uber Eats, though, and DoorDash.
Well, look.
They're wonderful. But you're right. Your point is valid.
All these things are great as a treat, yes. Right? Yeah. I mean, Friday night's pizza night.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It may be gluten-free, dairy-free in my house now, but it's still pizza night.
Yeah. I mean, families, especially like people I know with three and four kids, and soon there's the Yoli family, you're going to have three kids. You know,
I
like
know.
It's expensive. And so
and my son eats like a 40-year-old man. Patrick eats like a linebacker.
And it's just going to get worse as he gets older.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I know.
Just wait.
Yeah, wait till he gets like 12 and he's
going to
like
be 12 and like
6 foot over
two.
You. Yeah.
Dude. Man. Dad, can I get some more? No.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding, buddy. Here's another steak. Put another steak on the grill. No problem. No, I know. That's my food budget scares the hell out of me. Yeah. Because, and my daughter wants to just imitate him. So what will happen is he'll go, Daddy, can I have some more soup? And then Claire will go, can I have some more soup too? And she's got a full bowl of soup, but she still asks for it because he's asking for it.
I love that.
That scares the hell out of me. But the economy is still the number one issue, and it is always going to be the number one issue. And that's why you have a number of these Democrats coming out and saying last night after the State of the Union address, and they're pointing this out with the Iowa caucus. It is a mess. James Carville is one of the smartest guys out there, without a doubt. But he's also very, very emblematic of a former thinking within the Democrat Party before the Democrat Party became full-on woke, which is that you got to speak to people's pocketbooks and wallets and not speak to these weird issues that corporate America focuses on and woke Hollywood focuses on and Saturday Night Live focuses on. And it's not reflective of actually what people vote on. You know, Americans don't act like a giant HR department. It's not how they are in their life. It's looking for a fence everywhere and trying to make sure that everybody's woke. It's a thing that it's like Hollywood has figured out, and many of these big corporations run on it and love it and brag on it. But there are 63 million people in this country that voted for Donald Trump for president. And you're not going to win them back. As Bill Maher said with Elizabeth Warren, I don't know if you have that cut, Greg, or not, but
I'm still trying to.
He was mocking her for this thing that she said last week. She said she was going to appoint a transgender kid to be her Secretary of Education. And he's saying, is she running for the mayor of Berkeley or the mayor of California? Like, this is Bill Maher, liberal, saying this is crazy. This is crazy. So they're doing what they're doing here. Lori's in Ringo's. Lori, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I tip to Brian Williams. I love Campbell soup. I also have a brain in my head, and I can think for myself. So when he tries to say Campbell soup is for the Bible and gun clingers, you know, I cannot believe the guy is even out of his hole after what he did. I cringe when I see his face on the screen. He's a liar.
Yeah.
So
but, you know,
that's
not
really
why
I called.
No, of course not. His point is, what you said, something about how he doesn't understand the voters. He still doesn't. He stereotypes them.
Right. I love Campbell soup, but I have a great education. I'm not going to start bragging about it or anything like that. And I am the common man. That's me. I can think for myself. And I like Donald Trump, not because I'm some dog whistle reactor to stuff Donald Trump says. I like Donald Trump because I like his policies, and I like that he's taken it to Washington. And that connects to what I was going to say. You're reflecting on why did they go ahead, the Dems, with Schiff and Pelosi with this impeachment if they knew they were doomed? Why did Pelosi rip up the speech last night? The two things are connected. And it's because at the end of the day, from the beginning, he said he was taking it to Washington, cleaning up the swamp. I hate this term, but they know he is an existential threat to them. He is a threat to their existence as political animals. And yeah, they don't like him as a person. They can use all the coarse things he does as they can hide behind that and say that's why they don't like him. It's because he threatens their existence.
Without a doubt. Well said, Lori. No, you said it well. Right. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I mean, I think you said it very well. Very well. 855-839-1210 is the number.
I have the Bill Maher thing if you want to hear it.
All right. First, let me check in on Facebook. Thanks to our great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo. Millennial Bill is following Facebook. Bill, give us some comments.
Yeah, there's been obviously a lot of posts about Nancy Pelosi's actions last night, from how she introduced the president to ripping up the speech. My favorite one so far is Becky. She took a Snapchat. She used the Snapchat app, and she put a vampiric look on the vampiric one, and she has purple hair. It looks incredible. It's on your Facebook page. It's very funny.
Nice. We always love that kind of artwork. We appreciate that very much.
Terry says, I never saw such disrespect from a House speaker. To stand up and tear the speech was over the top.
Nice.
And then so Rich, what do you think? This is from Antonio. Mini Mike Bloomberg is the new Dark Helmet from Spaceballs, obviously. You could even do a megaphone Bernie-like voice over the helmet.
I like it. I love it.
Dark Helmet.
Dark Helmet, Bloomberg.
Great reference.
You went over my helmet.
Fantastic. It's a fantastic analogy. I love that. And we'll get to introduce Spaceballs to a whole new generation.
Yep, right?
Mel Brooks, one of his finest works.
Love Spaceballs.
Well, thank you for that check-in. That's outstanding. Brought to you by our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. They know your relationship with me matters and with the show, and we appreciate that. Want to mention yesterday, as part of this, got an email from Linda who says, I think you better start selling Zeoli breakfast bibs. You and your crew almost always manage to break me up when I have a mouthful of coffee, etc., and wreck my topper jeans. A bib would be helpful. That's what happens when you're blessed with a sense of humor. Just think of all the healthy endorphins getting released from the laughter. That miserab that complained about too much laughter on the show must be one unhappy miserab. Linda from South Philly. So thank you, Linda, for that. Fantastic.
Love it.
Yes. And speaking of laughter, we'll be at Parks Casino tonight. You can come
yes.
by. Yes. Comedy show at 8 o'clock at Parks Casino at Oliveto. Come by and see us. We'll be there, and it'll be a lot of fun. $20. Get your first drink included and the ticket, of course. And there'll be some fun comedians there tonight. Bob Nelson is hysterical. Bob Nelson's going to be there. He's great. And, of course, Joe Conklin and Mike Baldini, everybody's offensive Italian uncle.
And
Mike
you.
And me.
And
you.
And we will have Dawn. Zioli Army t-shirts and bumper stickers.
Oh, yeah.
There as well.
Do you have a long sleeve? Rich and I don't have the long sleeve ones yet.
Dawn, would you like a long sleeve? I think you can probably get it. Yeah, I think we can.
Okay. We have a store, Dawn, that you can go
we'll
to.
We'll give you a good discount.
1210wphd.com/store.
We'll give Dawn a good discount. Yeah. Now, this moment last night made Dawn cry, among other moments. This is when the president acknowledged a young girl from Philadelphia during the State of the Union address, once again highlighting school choice as a very, very important issue going into the 2020 election. Take a listen.
The next step forward in building an inclusive society is making sure that every young American gets a great education and the opportunity to achieve the American dream. Yet for too long, countless American children have been trapped in failing government schools. To rescue these students, 18 states have created school choice in the form of opportunity scholarships. The programs are so popular that tens of thousands of students remain on a waiting list. One of those students is Janaya Davis, a fourth grader from Philadelphia. Janaya. Janaya's mom, Stephanie, is a single parent. She would do anything to give her daughter a better future. But last year, that future was put further out of reach when Pennsylvania's governor vetoed legislation to expand school choice to 50,000 children. Janaya and Stephanie are in the gallery. Stephanie, thank you so much for being here with your beautiful daughter. Thank you very much. But Janaya, I have some good news for you, because I am pleased to inform you that your long wait is over. I can proudly announce tonight that an opportunity scholarship has become available. It's going to you, and you will soon be heading to the school of your choice.
Beautiful moment. Dawn loved that moment, right, Dawn?
It's one of my favorites.
That was a good moment.
It was beautiful.
Life-changing moment for that little girl, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, you think about an education, how many of us spend a fortune on our kids' private schools, right? And so here's a little girl who just also, well, she wants school choice. She wants to do great. So this is a game changer in people's lives.
Yeah.
And she'll always remember this, obviously. You know, someday when she runs for president or whatever, she'll talk about that moment and how it changed her life. It's incredible.
Well said. By the way, speaking of daughters, yesterday I gave a shout out to Casey Snyder on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. He posted a picture of him and his family at our nation's capital wearing Zioli Army shirts. Mm-hmm. And he's a young guy. He's a to read his description on Twitter, he's a work from home business coach, speaker and trainer. And he was there with his he and his daughter wearing a shirt. It's his wife, actually. His wife. This guy has done very well for himself.
Absolutely.
His gorgeous wife, I guess I said daughter. But look, if you don't know for sure, it's better to err on the side of daughter than wife,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And then accuse the guy of having like a child bride. So, you know, he's just a lucky, lucky man, I could say, with a beautiful family. The pictures they took yesterday in front of the Washington Monument, which great stuff. So thank you for that. We appreciate that. You are a lucky, lucky man, dude. You outkicked your coverage, brother, of something big time right there. Am I right?
Yeah. Oh, man, did he ever.
Right?
Yes, she looks great.
I love that saying. Outkicked your coverage, as I did as well.
And me too.
As Greg did. We certainly did. 855-839-1210. All right, Dawn, what do we got cooking today?
Yeah, so good morning. We have 40 degrees. The wind chill makes it feel more like 35. Zioli Show News brought to you by Wawa. So an incredible story that's gone viral, a pack of dogs just terrorizing the South Jersey town and community, sending victims to the emergency room. Police say the animals bit at least a dozen residents and have continued to just terrorize the South Jersey community. So police releasing video, actually, that has gone viral. One man facing off against the pack of barking dogs. He's swinging a pole to defend himself and shouting at the animals. Police say four people at least were taken to the hospital by ambulance after one attack. One woman's arm was actually bitten down to the bone. So Little Egg Harbor Township police say they've captured these dogs, finally, whose owner is facing serious charges. That guy's under arrest, and a hearing now set to decide the fate of those dogs. So you just heard Zioli highlight President Donald Trump's State of the Union address, capturing, of course, the emotion, a lot of tears for Philadelphia's own mom and her fourth grade daughter, Stephanie and Janiyah Davis, really emotional with that opportunity scholarship. But another tearful moment, First Lady Melania Trump presenting a visibly emotional Rush Limbaugh with the highest civilian honor. This is the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Rush Limbaugh, who, of course, just shocked millions of listeners as he just announced that he received a stage 4 advanced lung cancer diagnosis. So a lot of prayers for him. The president and first lady, I should mention, wore dark navy, and he thanked his wife for her, quote, extraordinary love and profound care for America's children, acknowledging Melania Trump's work on her Be Best initiative. We're also told that she's been kind of, you know, we haven't seen much of her. We are promised within the next coming months, she's actually going to be campaigning. We'll be seeing a lot more of Melania Trump, of the First Lady.
The First Lady or her body double?
Of the First Lady. And thanks to an adorable baby alien, Disney Plus streaming service reaching nearly 29 million paid subscribers in less than 3 months. I think the Zeolies are one of them. That from Disney Future as more people drop.
God, I hate them. I hate Disney, but it's like they have you. They got you trapped, you know.
Because of the little Star Wars series, The Mandalorian, with popular Baby Yoda. And by the way, the consumer products will go on sale in the coming months. So we'll all be wanting to buy our kids those little Baby Yoda stuffed animals.
You know, Dawn, after the news, I actually have a preview of a new live-action Disney movie that's coming out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I didn't know this, but they're remaking Pocahontas.
Oh, stop.
So we have a trailer for that. We'll play that.
Can't wait for that. Quickly, eyewitness weather. Cloudy, 44 degrees today. And then rainy days are going to finish our week. Tomorrow, 52. Friday, 55. And Wawa brings us this news with the new stack sandwiches at Wawa, piled high with favorites like ham, turkey, or try the new pastrami. There's also a hunger-worthy lineup of classic hoagies and those sourdough melts, all $5.49 each. Gotta have a Wawa. Dawn, Zioli Show News Radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. I appreciate that. One of the amazing, there were several amazing moments last night, obviously the ones that Dawn referenced as well. The homecoming for that family. And the president stood up for the Second Amendment, right to life, calling on Congress to pass a ban on late-term abortions. And he said the word babies. The president defended the Second Amendment, freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom for you to worship your God and explore your religion without the government interfering. The president did all those things, which are very, very important, again, to his base voters. A couple of these points, which I think are very, very important tonight. First of all, let's do cut number 11.
In 2017, doctors at St. Luke's Hospital in Kansas City delivered one of the earliest premature babies ever to survive. Born at just 21 weeks and 6 days and weighing less than a pound, Ellie Schneider was a born fighter. Through the skill of her doctors and the prayers of her parents, little Ellie kept on winning the battle of life. Today, Ellie is a strong, healthy 2-year-old girl sitting with her amazing mother, Robin. In the gallery, Ellie and Robin, we are glad to have you with us tonight. Ellie reminds us that every child is a miracle of life. And thanks to modern medical wonders, 50% of very premature babies delivered at the hospital where Ellie was born now survive. It's an incredible thing. Thank you very much. Our goal should be to ensure that every baby has the best chance to thrive and grow just like Ellie. That is why I'm asking Congress to provide an additional $50 million to fund neonatal research for America's youngest patients. Members of Congress here tonight to pass legislation finally banning the late-term abortion of babies.
You know, the president focusing on the science of this is really amazing, right? It's remarkable because the Democrats claim to be the party of science, but they are still holding on to the same science from the 1974 Roe v. Wade decision. Think about that. So that contrast again is incredible. The president also protecting your Second Amendment rights. Remember, his rival Mike Bloomberg, who I still think is going to be the nominee, hates guns, hates the Second Amendment, wants to see it abolished. No matter what Mike Bloomberg says, he does not believe an individual should have the right to bear arms. He believes that only law enforcement should have arms, which is exactly antithetical to the founding of this nation. Because if only the government had guns, we would not be a republic. We would be we'd still be under Britain's rule. I mean, maybe at some point we would have got rid of them, but certainly wouldn't have been in 1776. That's for sure. Cut 12.
My administration is also defending religious liberty, and that includes the constitutional right to pray in public schools. In America, we don't punish prayer. We don't tear down crosses. We don't ban symbols of faith. We don't muzzle preachers and pastors. In America, we celebrate faith. We cherish religion. We lift our voices in prayer, and we raise our sights to the glory of God. Just as we believe in the First Amendment, we also believe in another constitutional right that is under siege all across our country. So long as I am president, I will always protect your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. In reaffirming our heritage as a free nation.
That was a protester, a tolerant lefty who was escorted out of the gallery. Look, this is stuff is really important for the president's base. Really important stuff to mention here. It's why Chris Matthews said, where I come from, meaning here, people are going to like the speech. It's all good stuff. Chris Matthews said that after the speech last night. The president also pointed out the judges he's appointed, and it was a very important. He defended, he said, we're going to fight socialism. Just all really powerful stuff last night. Mark is in Wayne. Mark, good morning.
Rich, good morning. Hey, that was a grand slam of a speech. What it was an ode to American exceptionalism. And it really exposed those radical lefties as anti-American. Just beautifully done. He let the impeachment thing go. He took the high road. And very quickly on that, Rich, that whole thing was a complete and total joke. He struck a major nerve with Ukraine. There were a lot of people in our government using Ukraine like a piggy bank. And on the Republican side, too. And a lot's going to come out with the Clinton Foundation. And Biden.
Well, you know what? Even
Obama.
Listen. Even if nothing comes out, the Ukraine stuff has destroyed Joe Biden's candidacy. And that's a beautiful thing right there, as I told you it would. And the president being impeached has helped him become more popular now than he's ever been before. And that's a fact. And so whether or not those things ever come out or not, this Ukraine thing has been a disaster for Democrats, particularly one named Joe Biden.
Agree. And one other thing, Joe, if I'm Bernie. All right, Joe, I'm sorry. Rich, if I'm Bernie, I am having people taste my food, start my car, and if I decide to take a trip to Hawaii, I'm taking the train.
Yeah, no kidding, Mark. Thanks for the call, bud. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210. I mean, Bernie, you know, I have a little audio of Bernie. I do here. Sanders, he was very upset, as you can imagine, disappointed for the delays in Iowa. Very disappointed, and he knows that they're up to something, which is trying to rig the election against them. He knows that. He can feel it. He can sense it. Want to do cut 8B, Greg?
Obviously, I am disappointed. I suspect I can speak for all the candidates, all of their supporters, and the people of Iowa, that the Iowa Democratic Party has not been able to come up with timely election results. Can't understand why that happens, but it has happened.
Yeah, because they're rigging the election against you. That's why. Bernie did not have a good. Bernie had a great night in Iowa, and he's probably going to wind up becoming the winner when this is all done. But he was not happy that Pete Buttigieg came out and declared victory before the election results were even out there.
I mean, no, what we're declaring is what Jeff just talked about. It's based on the information we received from our precinct captains. With about 60% of the vote in, we're in pretty good shape.
What's your reaction, sir, to Mayor Buttigieg last night?
I don't know how anybody declares victory before you have an official statement as to election results. So we're not declaring victory.
But what we are saying is that at a time when the people of Iowa and the people of America really want to know what the results is, when they want to see some transparency, and when the Iowa Democratic Party is not providing that in a timely manner, we thought, is it appropriate just to give the results that have come in from our precinct captain? So that's what's up. I'm sorry? I don't want to speculate. Look, all I know, we have worked very, very hard. As of now, I think we are in quite good shape. We're off to New Hampshire, and we're going to work as hard as we can to win in New Hampshire. I think we now have an excellent chance to win the Democratic nomination and defeat the most dangerous president in the modern history of this country.
The most dangerous president. Chris Matthews, Van Jones, James Carville, Juan Williams. They all had nice things to say about the president's speech last night. And I should point out to you, particularly Chris Matthews, who's from here, saying a lot of people, lot to like. People back home, lot to like in this speech. This isn't just people who are Trump supporters saying the president did a great job last night. You've got Chris Matthews saying it, too. You've got Van Jones saying it. You've got them saying that the president of the United States, Donald Trump, the one that they said was racist and everything else, connected with people. He rose above the fray of Washington, connected with African-American voters on criminal justice reform, school choice, the economy. Democrats are in a really bad place here. Really bad place. By the way, I should mention to you, America's mother-in-law did not win a single county in Iowa. Not a single county in Iowa. That's bad. Joe Biden came in fourth place. Joe Biden's done. He's done. And Elizabeth Warren coming in last is not last, but also not winning a single county says a lot, too, about her and her policies. All right. 855-839-1210. I will play you, though, the Disney live action trailer for the new Pocahontas remake. And so you have the Disney app. I'm sure you'll be able to subscribe to it and watch it. You'll love it. I promise you that. And I'll tell you also as well why it is that in Iowa today, they've basically now have forfeited their status of being first in the nation. It's done for them. It's really done for them.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.